Ezekiel in chapter 19, verse 1. Moreover, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what is your mother, a lioness? She lay down among the lions. Among the young lions, she nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. The nations also heard of him. He was trapped in their pit, and they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. When she saw that she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. He roved among the lions and became a young lion. He learned to catch prey. He devoured men. He knew the desolate places and laid waste their cities. The land with its fullness was desolated by the noise of his roaring. Then the nations set against him from the provinces on every side and spread the net over him. He was trapped in their pit. They put him in a cage with chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in nets that his voice should no longer be heard on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a lion, like a vine in your bloodline, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches because of many waters. She had strong branches for scepters of rulers. She towered in stature above the thick branches and was seen in her height amid the dense foliage. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried her fruit. Her strong branches were broken and withered. The fire consumed them, and now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land. Fire has come out from a rod of her branches and devoured her fruit, so that she has no strong branch, a scepter for ruling. This is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. The last verse is where we're going to start on the commentary, where it says, this is a lamentation, has become a lamentation. And Roy, we're at the end of chapter 19. And I'm going to the Art Scroll commentary on this. And what this says in Hebrew is it's the word kinah. That would be spelled K-I-N-A-H. Kinah is a Hebrew word that, like the Book of Lamentations, is going to use this word kinah. We have special prayers that we have for Tish B'Av that are called the keynote prayers. And so one of the things that is becoming very evident as we go through the book of Ezekiel is that he is very strong in using Agadah parables, the stories, in order to be able to relate as to what's happening. And over, he's giving a parable to describe what is happening to these last four kings of Judah. And here in chapter 19, where it starts off, what is your mother, a lioness? And so that would be Israel. She lay down among the lions, which would be the other nations. And among the young lions, she nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. Nations also heard of him. He was trapped in their pit, and when they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt, it's relating to Jehoahaz, the first of the last of the four kings, who was carried by Necho into captivity in Egypt. When she saw that she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. He roved among the lions and became a young lion. He learned to catch prey. He devoured men. He knew the desolate places and laid waste their cities. The land with its fullness was desolated by the noise of his roarings. Then the nations set against him from the provinces on every side and spread their net over him. He was trapped in their pit. They put him in a cage with chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in nets that his voice should no longer be heard on the mountains of Israel. And I believe that both of these are speaking of Jehoiakim and then Jehoiachin. And then verse 10, your mother was like a vine in her bloodline, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches because of many waters. She has strong branches for scepters and rulers. She towered in stature above the thick branches and was seen in her height amid the dense foliage. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground. The east wind dried her fruit. Her strong branches were broken and withered, and the fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness. This is the Babylonian attack that burned Jerusalem. Now she is planted in the wilderness. The people are carried away into captivity into Babylon in a dry and thirsty land. Fire has come out from a rod of her branches and devoured her fruit, so that she has no strong branch, a scepter for ruling. So they have lost the kingship. It's the end of the parable. Now, chapter 20. I mentioned this earlier, that this is one of my favorite chapters. And you have to be aware of the Jewish calendar for it to take its full impact. So we have, it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire the Lord and set before me. So this would be in the seventh year of what? It would be the seventh year of Ezekiel's captivity, that he's been carried away. It's come to a fullness. And you notice on the tenth day of the month that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire the Lord and set before me. Let me back up. I don't believe it's the seventh year of Ezekiel's captivity, the seventh year after the last destruction of Jerusalem. And so seven is a number for a completeness and a fullness. Now, note that it says in the fifth month. So you have your months starting from Nisan, Iyar Ziv, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Fifth month is Av. And on the tenth day of the month. Okay, so what's significant about this? It's following the ninth of Av. It's the day after the ninth of Av, known as Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the destruction of Jerusalem. And the preceding chapter, chapter 19, was a what? A kinah. On Tisha B'Av, it is the time of the keynote prayers. Okay, it's the time that you lament over Jerusalem and the destruction upon the temple and the destruction of so forth. So this is a very planned thing. It's not a coincidence that they appear on this day. It is, to a Jewish audience, very profound. So not only would you have in mind as a reader today of these chapters, but you would also have in mind the fullness of what is done on Tisha B'Av, all the lamenting and all the prayers of lamenting over the sins of the people that caused the destruction of Jerusalem. But hand in hand with this, the lamenting also includes the prophecies of her restoration. So it says that certain of the elders of Israel, the Zechonim of Israel, came to inquire the Lord and set before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge then? Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and lifted my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Yaakov, and made known to them in the land of Egypt, I lifted my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I lifted my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all kinds. Now let's go back and look. The last several chapters, he has been relating the current history of Israel, or of Judah, really. Even though it says Israel, he's been relating the history of Judah in its last four kings. And he made a very great point of saying, look, don't cry to me. You asked for what you've got. That you had a covenant with the king of Egypt. You broke that covenant. You had a covenant with the king of Babylon. You broke that covenant. And they came and they judged you.
You had a covenant with me. You broke the covenant too.
That's right. In chapter 20, he's coming and he's saying, okay, you had a covenant with me. I made an oath with you and you broke that oath. And so therefore, this is what happens because you broke the oath. So just like a very good professor in a college, everything is being laid out by a current example that they could relate to. And then he says, okay, now let's look at the spiritual application. Let's see how that your actions and everything that happened in your actions have brought your present distress upon you. Therefore, let's look at it over the long term of history. The covenant I made with you, your actions are bringing the distress upon you that is now happening. So it says, will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and lifted my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Yaakov and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I lifted my hand in an oath to them saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I lifted my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, each of you throw away the abominations which are before his eyes and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whom sight in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Again, it's referring back to Ezekiel chapter 18. And, of course, this is the giving of the Torah, Mount Sinai. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, which is, by the way, Exodus and chapter 17. No. Not 17, just a second. Exodus and chapter 30, I believe. Chapter 31. This is where the Sabbath was not given to Israel. The Sabbath was given to mankind. Sabbath is in chapter 2 of Bereshit, Genesis, long before you had Israel. But in Exodus chapter 31, in verse 17, is where God made it a sign between him and Israel. This is what is called in the Hebrew liturgy, Veshamru. Is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. In the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Okay, by the way, this was done also at Mount Sinai. But it's the specific point at which he made the Sabbath to be a sign between himself and Israel. Back to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, who sets them apart. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if man does, he shall live by them, and they greatly defile my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles in whose sight I had brought them out. So what he's saying is, not because of you, but because of my own name being in it, I did not destroy you. So I also lifted my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart was after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction. I did not make an end to them in the wilderness, but I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profane my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I lifted my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and dispense them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. Now, one of the things that we note is that it seems to just be the same old story in paragraph after paragraph. It just keeps repeating. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good and judgments by which they could not live. Excuse me. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this too your fathers have blasphemed me by being unfaithful to me. For when I brought them into the land for which I had lifted my hand in an oath to give them, and they saw all the high hills and all the thick trees, there they offered their sacrifices and provoked me with their offerings. There they also sent up their sweet aroma and poured out the drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, are you defiling yourselves in the manner of your fathers and committing harlotry according to their abominations? For when you offer your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols even to this day. So shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What you have in your mind shall never be. When you say, we will be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries, serving wood and stone. Hold your hand here and turn to the book of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 1, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. And then it goes on about the customs of the people are futile, that they go to the forest, they cut down a tree, they bring it to their house, they decorate it, and so forth. Go back over here to Ezekiel. In chapter 11, in chapter 11 of Ezekiel, there is a verse here that I'm looking for. Yes. Verse 12, and you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles, which are all around you. Now it happened while I was prophesying, and then it goes on. Okay, back over to Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 32. What you have in your mind shall never be when you say we will be like the Gentiles. Okay, Gentiles during this period did not mean non-Jews. Gentiles during this period meant pagans. The word for a non-Jew is ger. So you could be a ger and walk with God. But you could not be a Gentile and walk with God. Today, Gentile means, even in Israel, means all non-Jews. So the words have changed a little bit in their meaning. But again, every bit of this can apply to Judah, every bit of it can apply to Israel, and every bit of it can also apply to replacement Christianity. And precisely what replacement Christianity did was they replaced with things from paganism right into Christianity, changed the names and so forth, and did exactly what we see being done here. Okay, Ezekiel 20, verse 33. As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the peoples. Okay, now we have done a time jump. We have jumped from the time of Yehezkel to the time of the regathering. And it's not the regathering at the time of Ezra, but at the messianic regathering, which will be borne out in the passage. Hold your hand here. Let's go over to the book of Luke, chapter 21. Verse 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. That is a prophecy that Yeshua gave in the year 30 Common Era, and it was relating to the Romans under Vespasian and Titus who would encircle the city and destroy it in the year 70 Common Era. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And in verse 25, you jump from the time of the Roman encircling, the siege of Jerusalem at Titus and Vespasian, to the time of Messiah's coming. And that is exactly what we're doing over here in Ezekiel 20. Let's go back there. As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the peoples, gather you out of the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. And there I will plead my case with you face to face. Just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead my case with you, says the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod. Now, passing under the rod is an expression that is linked directly to the festival of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment. And it is said that the Lord will hold a rod out, it's taken, by the way, from this verse, and that all mankind will pass under him as sheep do before a shepherd, and that he will divide the sheep from the goats. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the country where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. They will go into the wilderness. They will leave the land of Israel, and they will go into Jordan in present-day Saudi Arabia, the northern port of Saudi Arabia. In other words, they will go the exact path that Moses and his people, in their trek from Mount Sinai into the land, they will go back to these same general locales. They will go to the Arnon Valley, the Zered Valley, the location of Petra. They will go to the location of Kadesh Barnea. They'll go to Mount Sinai. As for you, verse 39, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name no more with your gifts and your idols. For on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, says the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, shall serve me. There I will accept them, and there I will require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifices, together with all your holy things. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted my hand and an oath to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your doings with which you were defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sights because of all the evils that you have committed. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, says the Lord God. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the south. Okay, in Hebrew this would be Negev, N-E-G-E-V. Preach against the south and prophesy against the forest land, the south. And say to the forest of the south. What's unusual about this?
I don't recall a forest in the
Negev. Okay. Daryl, do you recall any forest in the Negev? Now we're talking, Roy, we're talking desert. You've never been to Israel, have you?
No, I haven't, but I understand that the climate's changed quite a bit in the last 2,000 years there. Also, as I understand it, the northern Africa used to be called the breadbasket of the Roman Empire, and they cut down all the trees, and that's really and it caused it to turn into desert there in that area. So
That's very true, is that... the Turks put a tax on trees during the Ottoman Empire. And if you had trees, then you had to pay taxes. So the Arabs went out and lowered their taxes.
Cut the trees down.
But
I understand that the Romans cut the trees down and make it into farmland, and then eventually went to desert because of the loss of the trees in that area in northern Africa.
Well, The area that we call the Negev and the Arva, this particular area, we know was a desert. However, it might not have been the degree of the desert. One of the things that it's called, there seems to be a difference between the desert and the wilderness. For instance, the wilderness of Paran, the wilderness of Kadesh Barnea, and so forth. And you look at these areas today, and they are very, very much true desert. Now, there are a certain type of forest there today. We went into southern Jordan in four-wheel drives and came over the mountains, which you can't do in buses. We came over the mountains in these four-wheel drives and then came down off the mountains and went in to what is called the Arva. The Arva is this region right here. The region that is just below the Dead Sea. And you can see that it's a basin. My personal opinion is that at the time that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, that the Dead Sea, now that, this we know, the Dead Sea was created at that time. But I believe that before that, that there was water that came down the Jordan and emptied all the way into the Gulf of Aqaba. But there was a landmass that rose up here blocking this. Now, this area, the Arva, is like a gigantic basin. But it's full of acacia trees. There were literally, we went through some forest of acacia trees down in that area. I don't believe that the acacias were replanted. Israel has an active reforestation project that goes on constantly. But I think that probably those trees have always been there. Wouldn't you think, Daryl?
Well, of course, I don't think those were planted. Now you realize the forest, these trees would have been 30 feet apart, but for that area, it was
right.
Forest.
But there's an abundance of trees.
Yeah.
I can see how somebody could call that a forest, but it's not a forest like what we have here in East Texas or anything like that.